Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, the purpose of the keynote is to give all of us, team and students alike, something that is on God's heart, that He's speaking to our heart, that we can then work through in the following days. So that we don't just come in here and have another 8 o'clock, but we're really seeking to see what God is saying being lived out, being worked out in our lives. And sometimes that means in our relationships also. And that will certainly be the case this morning. Because today, I believe the Lord wants us to talk about our attitudes. Our attitudes, what attitude we have towards Him, towards circumstances, but particularly towards one another. Now, attitude is very important. Paul says when he's writing to the Philippians, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In other words, God wants us to have the same attitude towards God, towards our circumstances, towards others, that Jesus had. And He has given us the gift of His Spirit to enable us to have the same attitude as Jesus. But that attitude needs to be natural for us. It's not that we are trying to make the right attitude replace the wrong attitude. The wrong attitude shouldn't be there. And the attitude you have will determine how you react and respond to what the Lord is saying, to what happens to you, to the way others are relating to you. So God's purpose is for us to have the right heart attitudes so that the way in which we respond is right. That we don't have sort of two attitudes, our own sort of self-motivated attitude, and then we realize, well, that's wrong, now we've got to get the right attitude of Jesus. He wants that right attitude of Jesus to be the norm for us, what is happening all the time within us. And that is, of course, a matter of the heart. Your attitudes are determined by the state of your heart. Now, in what way is our attitude to be the same as that of Christ Jesus? Well, Paul goes on to say to the Philippians, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Jesus had a servant heart. He had the attitude of a servant. Now, he knew he was the Son of God, but he had the attitude of a servant. Paul, when he opens his letters, usually says, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. His apostleship was his ministry, but his calling was to be a servant. And so that's the case with all of us. We are first and foremost servants, like Jesus came, as he said, not to be served, but to serve. Now, when you translate that means in our attitude towards the Lord, we're not here to be served by Him. We're here to serve Him. We are not looking first and foremost to be blessed by him, but to bless him. And we've seen that that means to make him happy, to do what pleases him. What, of course, we discover in experience is the truth of God's word, that the more we live to bless him, the more we are blessed by him. We reap what we sow. The measure we give is the measure we get back. But our attitude is one of service. So we're there to serve the Lord. But we can only serve the Lord if our attitude towards one another is that we are here to serve one another. So you're not looking to others around you to serve you, but you will serve them. Now, of course, again, because this is God's word, the more you serve others, the more you actually will be served by them. Again, you will reap what you sow. But you don't serve in order to be served. You serve because you have the right heart attitude to serve. Now, Jesus, of course, put this in quite an extreme way. He said that we are to lay down our lives for one another. So in other words, we serve no matter what it costs us. We don't serve when it's just convenient or in a superficial way. We live to serve others in whatever way is necessary. That primarily, while you're here as students, is learning to serve one another. But of course, there are all kinds of other ways in which we touch the life of the world around us. And when that is the case, our attitude should again be that of serving. Jesus, wherever he went, served people. He gave them the truth. He gave them deliverance. He gave them healing. He was constantly, constantly serving. And he didn't determine who he served by how good or great the person was. He served out of his heart of love. And this, of course, is at the heart of having a right attitude, that we have a heart of love, which enables us, therefore, to want to serve, to want to bless, to want to give to God, to others, to one another. And if you imagine a whole body of people such as we have here among the team and students, everybody living to serve others, you can see what a witness that would be to any who come amongst us. That everybody is looking out for everybody else. One of the things I used to do, especially when I was a young pastor, was to go on a silent retreat once or twice a year. I would go to a place, a retreat house, where you could just get away to pray. And often these were attached to some kind of community, monastic community. And when you ate meals with them, they would eat in silence. Just somebody would be reading some spiritual book or something from the scriptures, but everybody was silent. The good thing about that was you couldn't ask anybody to pass you anything. Pass the sugar or the salt or this, that, or the other. So everybody was always like this, looking out for one another. So if you saw that somebody had a need of something, you were quick to serve them. Well, I was going to say before they asked, but they weren't allowed to ask. But it just created a kind of good attitude where everybody, instead of sitting down and and concerned about what they were eating for themselves, and the first one to the servery for seconds before others get there, so you get it. I mean, it's just another kind of attitude. Can you understand what I'm saying? The attitude is caring for others rather than just concentrating on yourself. Now, you need not fear, we are not about to impose silent meals on you. Although sometimes that might be a good idea, but but what is important is that we're looking out for others rather than for ourselves. It's amazing how selfish we can be without realizing we're being selfish. But we tend to think everything sort of revolves around ourselves. But servants are all the time looking for the right ways and opportunities to serve those around them. This was Jesus. You see it at the Last Supper when he washed the disciples' feet. He was doing the work of a slave. He was actually having, because they reclined at the table, he was having to kneel before his disciples, the very ones that a few hours later were going to desert him and leave him in his time of greatest need. And he knew that that was going to happen. He prophesied that that was going to happen. But there he is washing the disciples' feet, even washing Judas's feet, even washing Peter's feet, who was going to deny three times that he knew him on that same night. But here is the servant who doesn't decide to serve because of the virtue or of the other person, but simply out of having a right, loving servant heart. Now, there's a lot in the New Testament about having a right attitude towards one another. Listen to what Paul is saying in Romans. As members of the same body, we are to be devoted to one another, loving each other as members of the same family. This involves honoring others above ourselves and always being eager to serve the Lord by doing whatever he asks of us and doing it with all our hearts. That's the attitude that the Holy Spirit wants to create within all of us. Now, there's a little word there contained in that scripture which is all important. I don't know whether you first-year students have had any teaching on this yet, but anyway, you're going to get some more this morning. And that is the word honor. If we love the Lord, we honor the Lord. The purpose of praising him is to express that we honor him beyond and above all others. But we honor the Lord by listening to what he says. We honor the Lord by fulfilling the plan and purpose that he has, and therefore we honor him by serving him. What that looks like in practice is that we honor the Lord through obeying him, through obeying his commands. If you love me, you will obey my commands. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will honor me. And if you honor me, you will obey what I ask of you. So to disobey is to dishonor. To obey is to honor. To disobey is to dishonor. So if we disobey God's word, we dishonor the Lord. Now, by the same principle, if we fail to honor others, we dishonor the Lord. We don't only dishonor the person, but we dishonor the Lord, because he tells us to honor one another, to actually honor one another above ourselves. So if we don't do that, we're not only dishonoring the people that we're not honoring, but we're dishonoring the Lord. Now, this is why Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. I think there may be somebody who's trying to get in the door there. I don't know if it's open. Okay. So, whatever we do to one another, we do to him. So, if you dishonor someone else, you dishonor the Lord. So you not only need to seek the forgiveness of the one you dishonored, but you also need to seek the forgiveness of the Lord for dishonoring that person. Are we getting this? Hello? See, Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me, and whatever you don't do for me. So it's not just, if I dishonor someone, I've dishonored the Lord. If I fail to honor them, I fail to honor the Lord. Are we getting this? You're very quiet. This is too practical to be comfortable, isn't it? Hallelujah. Now, we tend in the natural to have certain values that we place upon other people. Now, at one level, that's natural, but as believers, we've got to be very careful here. For example, when it comes to Christmas time, and you make a list of those to whom you want to give presents, you make a value judgment as to how much you're going to spend upon each person on your list. You don't necessarily spend the same amount on all of them. You could say, therefore, that there are some that you value more highly than others. Now, there may be certain factors involved in that. Like you might feel that you ought to give more to your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your children, than you would give to others simply because of the relationship you have with them. But in deciding to give a gift to anyone, what we are really doing is saying, I want to honor this person. I want to bless this person. I want to please this person. And so you want to give them something that will actually bless them. When people say to me, what do you want for Christmas? I say, well, let me buy it and I'll tell you how much it costs. Because I'd much prefer to receive something I want than a whole lot of useless presents that I don't want. But that's just a little bit of wisdom you learn as along the way. what is more futile than presents for that you will never use? You know, you stick in a cupboard and that's the last you ever see of them. Or else you immediately think, now who can I give this away to? But I must remember not to give it away to the one who gave it to me. But the point I'm making is that, you know, in our minds, obviously we have some relationships that are closer than others and more meaningful to us than others because of the nature of that relationship. And that gets reflected in the way in which we give to them, not only at Christmas, but of course at other times too. Now, that is natural and right. But there's a danger that we only give and only serve those who are special to us. Or we have an attitude where we serve them above others. Let me tell you what I mean. When my wife and I got married, we said, Lord, we don't mind where you lead us in a future ministry, so long as we can always be together. Now, one of the things you do learn along the way is that it's not for you to tell God what he is to do. His plan for you, and he's not going to change his plan because you want a different plan. Hello? So for the first few years of our marriage, we were together, but then God led me into this ministry where I was tripping around all over the world, and I was away from home more than I was there, separated from my wife and from my children, which was the very thing I didn't want to do. Now, what God was calling me to do was to love and honor all those to whom he was sending me to serve in his name. That required me making, and my family, from making a decision to place others above ourselves and our desires. And God taught me that, or promised me, that if I was faithful in doing that, he would care for my family, he would care for the children, and the children would not suffer from my long absences. And that was surely the case. Clive seems a fairly well-integrated person, and he's a man of great faith and vision and so on. But for the formative years of his life, I was not there more than I was there. What I did was to ensure that when I was at home, I had quality time with the children. But there was a time when, and you know, this wasn't always easy. The first words that I can say it because he's not here this morning. The first words that Clive ever said was, "Bye-bye, Dada." And that was just when I was going on a long trip for several weeks overseas. Now, when that's the first words your child says, "Bye-bye, Dad," and I can remember South Africa. I don't know if this was the same occasion or not, but for the first time in my life, I felt really homesick, and I was missing my wife and my children. And I had several weeks. I'd already been away a lot, and I'd just been home for a few days, and then I was off again. And I got before God, and the Lord said to me, "Colin, you are to stay on your knees before me until you are rejoicing to be here. You are rejoicing to be away from your wife. You are rejoicing to be away from your children. From your heart, you are really pleased to be here where I want you, rather than at home with your family." So I did what he said, and I stayed on my knees till I knew that I was really saying that, not just from my lips, but from my heart. I never, ever, from that day, suffered from homesickness again. God knew exactly what he was doing. I was able always to be able to rejoice in being where God wanted me to be in order to serve the brethren, to serve his people. Even though, in the natural, I would much prefer to have been somewhere else. Now, I hear some Christians saying, you put your family first and then your ministry next. No, 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 no. God is always first. God is always first. Always, 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 always first. And your family will prosper and benefit from that. My family have always prospered. They prospered, even the children prospered when they were growing up, because we put the Lord first. If we were serving his people in the way that he was asking, then we were serving him. Are we there? God hasn't called us to be comfortable. He's called us to be obedient. He's called us to be faithful. Faithful in fulfilling the plan and purpose he has. Our plan and purpose with, you know, much desired to prefer to be together until God gives you that breakthrough, and then you can rejoice to be wherever he wants you, doing whatever he is calling you to do. You see, if you trust the Lord, he will always fulfill his words of promise to you. Now, I only just give you this example because I want you to understand that if we're going to be obedient, not just here, but for the rest of our lives, in serving, in having that attitude of service, then we are going to find that at times it will be costly. Perhaps very costly. We will have to deny ourselves in order to take up our cross and follow after him. But always, obedience leads to great rewards. The Lord will fulfill whatever. There's no time now to tell you of how the Lord blessed our family in so many ways because we were obedient to his call. Because it required, you see, not just obedience from me personally, but from my wife, and from my children, from the whole family. Now, you see, in doing that, I was honoring the Lord. I could honor the thousands and thousands of people that I was privileged to minister to in his name. Seeing thousands saved and healed and filled with the Spirit. Things that if I just did what I want, I would never have seen. Amazing moves of God, amazing moves of the Spirit. But it was costly to be in the place and fulfilling the ministry that made all of that a reality, made all of that possible. It's just a question, you see, of having the right attitude. This is the attitude of Jesus, that he came to serve, and he never considered himself and what it was going to cost him to serve. You can see throughout his ministry, not just in what he did on the cross, he was constantly serving. If he was so busy all day serving people, he would pray through the night because he would allow nothing to disrupt his relationship with the Father. But he was constantly serving, constantly giving. There was a famous man of God who, in the 1930s, said this, God eternally lives to give himself. Now, if our attitude is the same as of Christ Jesus, that means we live to give ourselves. Not just to give because we ought to, but because this is our new nature. To live for others, to live to give, to live to serve, to live to bless. Now, in doing that, you honor the Lord. In doing that, you honor others, those whom you are fulfilling that service. So, At this moment in time, God is not asking you to go tripping around the world, to leave families and all the rest. You don't know what he will ask of you in the future, because when we first got married, we didn't know that God was going to ask that of us. Never even dreamed of it or ever desired it. But you see, it's always a matter of honoring God in the situation where he's placed us. So here you are now, whether you're team or whether you're students, here you are now to honor God by honoring, by serving, by loving, by blessing, by giving to others around you, by living to bless them, living to serve them, rather than being here for yourself. Those of you on the team, you're not here for a job and a salary. You're here to serve the Lord and therefore to serve others in whatever capacity God is calling you to serve. Those of you who are students, God is wanting to instill in you a right attitude, that of a servant heart, so that for the rest of your life and whatever ministry God leads you to in the future, it will come out of that servant heart, that desire to give, to bless, to serve others rather than yourself. You see, I've got the right to say these things to you because I've done it. There are too many preachers that just preach from theory rather than from the reality of living out what they're preaching. But I made an agreement with the Lord many, many, many years ago, right at the beginning of my ministry, that I would never, ever preach anything unless I was seeking to live it myself. That doesn't mean that I'm 100% successful in doing that, but at least in my heart, I'm seeking to live that which I proclaim. And you see, even though I'm 75 now, pushing on 76, you can't retire from service. You can't opt out of loving others as he has loved you. There is no such thing as retirement for a believer. I mean, those in the world, they may retire from their secular job, but that means they've now got more time to serve the Lord. And probably the latter years will be even more rewarding than all the former years because of the time in which they have to give to the work of the kingdom once they've got their pension from their job. But it's all an attitude, isn't it? An attitude of heart. Now let's come back to this word honor. Because we need to have this attitude of honor towards others, but there are some in particular that God says we're to honor. For example, to Timothy, he says, the elders who order the affairs of the church well are worthy to receive double honor from the rest of the believers. This is true especially of those who preach and are responsible for teaching the brethren. You're to give double honor to those who are over you in the Lord. Now, I'm saying this to you not because I want to be honored, but because you need to honor those who are over you, because it's the word of God. Now, why double honor? Because those in leadership have a double responsibility. They have a responsibility for their own lives. Every believer is going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of his stewardship. See, two things happen at the day of judgment. One is the division of sheep and goats, those who are saved and those who are not. And we are saved solely through the grace of Jesus Christ and not by any works of our own. But then, also on that day, your reward is assessed. Jesus says that each man will be rewarded according to what he has done. So every one of us at that time can rejoice that God has saved us through his mercy and grace, but at the same time, we will have to give account of our stewardship. And this is why Jesus teaches a number of parables about the kingdom, which are about stewards having to give account to their master as to how they have used the talents, the gifts, the money, or whatever that has been entrusted to them. So on that day of judgment, it's as if God will say to each one of us, what have you done with that which I entrusted to you? I gave you new life. I gave you every spiritual blessing. I gave you fullness of life in Christ. What did you do with it? How have you served? What fruit have you produced? I mean, it won't exactly be like that, him asking us a question. We will see. Boom. It will all be revealed. For good or not so good. But you will see clearly what God has always seen about you at that moment. But those in leadership not only have to give account for their own stewardship, they are also responsible before God for the way in which they have led others, for the impact that they have had upon others, for the influence that they've had upon them. Whether they have led them faithfully in the way that God intends, or whether they have compromised in their leadership, wanting to please men rather than to please God. So what Paul is saying is that those in leadership have a double accountability, and therefore they should be doubly honored. Not only because we are to honor every believer, and I'll come back to that in a moment, but you are also to honor them because of the fact that they are accountable before God as to how they lead you. See, when I come in here on a Wednesday morning to do a keynote, I'm accountable to God for what I say to you. Because this is to give us direction as to what he is wanting to work out amongst us as we progress together in the purposes of God. So if I come in here and give a totally different message from the one God intends, I've blown it. I haven't done what God wanted me to do. So I have to be obedient to him. He tells me this morning, I want you to talk about accountability and honoring, so I have to do it. It's not a question of whether I want to do it or whether there's something else I prefer to say. There's probably a whole lot of things I prefer to speak about, but for the fact that I've got no desire to do anything other than what God wants me to do. See, it's an attitude of heart. Can you see this? Can you understand this? You're all looking so serious and somber this morning. This is joyful. This is a joyful message. Because what, you see, to me, from the moment I first came to know the Lord as a young boy, it was a matter of amazing privilege that God had called me to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I can remember as a young boy, that's how I thought of it. Wow, God who made the whole of creation has called me to serve him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What an honor, what a privilege. And you see, if you understand the privilege of being a believer, of being called to be a child of God, then you will see what a privilege to serve him. Not just a privilege to be a Christian, not just a privilege to be saved, but what a privilege to be called to serve him. What a privilege to be able to set your life apart to do that. I mean, if God calls you to some full-time ministry, that is a most amazing privilege. Everybody on the team here has the most amazing privilege. It is such a privilege to be able to serve the Lord on a full-time basis in a ministry like this. And what a privilege you have being here as students. What a privilege to be able to spend a year of your life letting the Lord minister to you, put into your heart and life important principles by which you can live the rest of your life. It's an amazing, amazing privilege. It's a tremendous opportunity to use to the full, isn't it? Now, let's leave the double honor just to one side for a moment. Because what Paul was saying in that scripture I read just now is that we are all to honor one another. Now, why are you to honor each other? Well, of course, you can't love someone without honoring them. Hello? We're called to love one another, aren't we? Which means you're called to honor one another. Now, when you honor someone, you want the best for them. Yes? You want the best for them. And what is the agape love of God? Desiring the highest good for others. So love and honor go together. I can't love someone if I dishonor him. If people dishonor me or dishonor my ministry, they certainly don't love me. Can you see that? So you can't separate love and honor. But think of who this other person is, the one sitting beside you this morning. Someone whom God has honored. Someone God has made his child. Someone in whom Christ lives. Someone whose body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't you honor him? Shouldn't you honor her? Can you see why Jesus says, whatever you do to them, you do to me? Because this is my child. I live in this child. This child is a temple of my presence. Don't you see? That you need to honor them? Now, if you honor them, you think well of them. The most difficult thing about honoring others is that it's so easy for us to focus on the faults that we see in other people. But you see, just as you can readily see where others fail to love, fail to honor, fail in all kinds of ways, so they can all see where you fail. Now, what kind of a fellowship would it be if all of us focused on our failures? That would not be having the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't focus on the failures, he focused on the truth. And what he was determined to do always was to speak the truth into people's lives, to speak the truth over people's lives, because he knows that that's the only way to free people from the things that dishonor him. Are we all getting this? Now, think a moment. You are a child of God. You have been called and set apart by God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So shouldn't you honor him, not just honor one another because they carry the anointing, they carry the Holy Spirit, they carry the presence of God. But shouldn't you honor your own body, your own life, because you're called and chosen? Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You see, if you don't honor the anointing on your own life, how are you going to honor the anointing on other people's lives? And this is at the heart of honoring. We are to honor one another because of the anointing that is on each other's lives. And you have to have that special honor for those who preach and teach you in the Lord because of the anointing on their lives. Now, this is where we've got to get something very clear. In honoring someone because of the anointing, and we all are anointed, we all have the anointing of the Holy One, yes? So we honor everyone who carries this anointing of the Holy One. Yes, we honor those and we honor the anointing on particular people. But listen, you cannot say, I honor the anointing, but I don't honor the person. Now, I've heard that kind of talk among some Christians. Well, I honor the anointing, but I can't honor the person. You know, that's dishonoring to God, because it was God who chose the person, and it was God who gave them the anointing, whatever anointing it is that they carry. So that's like saying, well, I can honor the anointing on that person's life, but I don't like the person, I don't like him, I don't like her. I can't honor her because I can see all kinds of things wrong with her. In fact, I can see so much wrong with him that I just wonder why God ever anointed him in the way that he has. You see, that shows an entirely wrong heart attitude. That if God has called someone, we honor God by recognizing his call. God has anointed someone, we recognize that he's calling us to honor not just the anointing, but to honor the person who carries the anointing. Are we there? Now, as I said earlier, if you honor people, you're looking for ways to serve them, to bless them, to give to them. When it comes to those in leadership, that's not always very clear as to how you can honor them, give to them, bless them. But it's a question of using whatever opportunities you have to do that, not waiting to be asked to do it. Again, it's a heart attitude. And you know, when we want to honor the Lord, when we want to honor others, God will show us how to do it. God will even give us the opportunities to do it. When I go to African nations or even African churches here in this country, I'm not allowed to do anything. People will be waiting to open the car door. They will want to carry my Bible, my briefcase. I might be 75, but I can still manage to carry my own Bible. But I'm not allowed to carry my Bible. I'm ushered here, I'm taken there, wanted to serve, be blessed in all kinds of ways. Now, people say it's a cultural thing. It's got nothing to do with culture. It's that they have been taught, brought up in an environment of honoring. They look for ways in which to express that honor, look for ways in which to serve. We had an African student in the second year last year, and some of you will know, I couldn't leave the second room, teaching room, carrying my own Bible. He would always carry it, take it. Think, is that an African thing? No, no, no. It's an honoring thing. It's not African, it's honoring. Now, I'm not asking everybody to rush up and carry my Bible for me. I'm just using it as an example of if you've got that in your, if you've got it in your heart, this desire to honor, then you will look for ways of doing it. Might be little things, might have the opportunity to do more significant things from time to time. But it's not just a question of doing that, you see, with the leadership. And it's not, obviously, it's not doing it with some ulterior motive so that leaders will think well of you. It has to come from the heart. But it's just as important that we're honoring one another. Now, you can't honor others by gossiping about them, by criticizing them, by judging them. Even though you might not say anything, you're going to have that attitude in your heart. God wants us to love one another, to think well of each other, to focus on that which is good and forgive that which is not. So we don't hold on to any grudges. We don't hold on to any offense. If somebody's upset us, we forgive them and we get over it. Hello? And you see, such things are bound to happen because none of us are yet living in perfection. No? So I can guarantee that other people are bound to upset you. I would even go as far as to say, God deliberately allows that to happen to see how you'll cope with it. In Italian, they've got a lovely word, pungolo. And pungolo is a prodding stick. You know, one of the things I hate, and I'm sure you hate, are those kind of people that dig you in the ribs. But God has got his pungolo. He's got his prodding stick. And he sometimes digs us in the ribs to see how we will react. He allows things. I don't say he always wants them, but he allows all kinds of negative things to happen to us to see if the reaction inside is going to be one of love, of forgiveness, of serving, get the right attitude. Now, if you get a pungolo from the Lord and you react in the wrong way, you failed the test. That's okay. God will forgive you, but he'll give you the same pungolo again. And again, and again, until the glorious day arrives when you react in the right way. And you've passed the test, that particular test, or he'll have another one for you down the track. But you've passed that particular test. From reacting in a negative and wrong way, you now react in the right way. You know, there are some people that think others are always rejecting them. Well, you see, you will not have that mentality when, if anybody does anything that causes you to feel like that, you forgive them instead of, you know, reacting in a wrong, negative way, feeling sorry for yourself. And in this way, God works within us to enable us to have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Because he had these prodding sticks all the time throughout his ministry. Just read the Gospels and see what happens to him. But he always reacted positively. He always reacted in the right way. Even when they were banging the nails into his hands, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That was a mighty big bungalow. But look at the heart attitude. "Father, forgive them." So, beloved, this message will not end until you stand before the Lord on the day of judgment. Then there'll be no further need for this message. But until then, let this be something that is grafted into your heart. That you don't just hear this with your head. "Well, this is what I ought to do." That won't get you anywhere. That's like Old Testament law, knowing what you ought to do. But what is important now is that you are in the place before God where you are saying, "Lord, I want all that I've heard this morning to be worked out in my life. I want to have the same attitude as Jesus. I want that humble, submissive, servant heart. I want to honor others as I would honor you. I want to do to them what I would do to you. And when negative things happen to me, I want to respond with love, with mercy, with forgiveness, not with resentment, bitterness, anger, not taking offense, but giving mercy." Now, beloved, this is a process that God will take you through. Sadly, along the way you will fail, not once but many times, to have the same attitude as Jesus. The important thing is that when you realize you fail, you don't become discouraged, but that you pray even more intensely, "Lord, work this out in me. I want the same heart attitude as that of Jesus. Forgive me when I fail in that. But Holy Spirit, help me to honor you, to honor the Lord, to honor one another, and to honor the anointing on my own life by responding, acting in the way that blesses you, having the same heart attitude that was in Christ Jesus." Let's all stand, shall we? Come into the middle. Says of Jesus, "He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross." He humbled himself and became obedient. The only way that you will become obedient to what you've heard this morning is by humbling yourself. Humbling yourself before God, maintaining that humble attitude towards others, not rising up in pride. So just close your eyes now. And first of all, thank the Lord for the anointing on your own life. That God has called you. He's chosen you. He has anointed you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You carry the anointing of the Holy One. You carry the presence of the Lord. So can you say to the Lord this morning, I don't want to do anything, Lord, that would undermine the anointing that you've placed upon my life. I want to flow in the good of the anointing that you've given me. I want to learn to trust in that anointing, that even when in the natural, I wouldn't want to serve, yet through the empowering and enabling of your Spirit, I will serve, I will do whatever it is you're asking of me. I want the same attitude as that which was in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Baratakaria letu bakalasitri santum. Baratakaria letu bakalasitri sandaria letu bakalasitri santum. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Palala basutri sandaria letu bakalasutri sandaria letu bakalasutri santum. Hallelujah. Now, can you tell the Lord how you want to honor other people, honor one another, honor those around you, those whom God has given you to honor? Can you ask him for that servant heart? So you look for ways to serve others, to bless them, to give to them, to encourage them, to help them. All kinds of ways in which you can do that. I could suggest many ways, but you know, you need to pray and God will show you yourself how you can bless others, how you can give to them, how you can help them, encourage them. Can you just pray, Lord, I want that servant heart. I want that honoring attitude that I will honor all those around me, whether they're team members, whether they're servants, whether they're students, I'm honoring all of them in the same way that you have honored me. Praise you, Lord. Bless you. So thank the Lord for those he's given you to honor, those he's given you to love, those he's given you to serve. Love, honor, serve, it all goes together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, can you also ask the Lord to work it within you by His Spirit so you have the right attitude when people dishonor you or do things to grieve you, negative things, that you will react in a positive way, not a negative way? that you will react with mercy, with forgiveness. That you won't gossip about people, you won't tease people, you won't laugh, have a laugh at their expense. But you'll realize that the others around you are very sensitive people, just as you are very sensitive. So can you pray, Lord, make me sensitive, help me to be sensitive to the needs of others around me. Not to wait to ask, to be asked, but to help them, but just to be on the lookout, on the watch for anyone who's getting left out, anyone who's on their own, anyone who obviously has a need. Help me, Lord, help me to be sensitive to that and obedient just to reaching out to them in your name. To love them, serve them, help them, bless them, encourage them. Thank you, Jesus. And double honor to those whom God has given to lead you. And honor those who mentor you, those who lecture you, and the team, those who supervise you, anyone who has any kind of responsibility or authority over you, give them that double honor. Honor them for themselves, but honor them in that capacity, in that ministry, in that service that God is asking them to fulfill. It's for your own benefit. You will benefit by honoring them. Hallelujah. I don't hear so much prayer going on now. You need to be praying just as much about this. Just as much the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Might need to, Lord, show me ways in which I can serve them and show honor to them, give to them, bless them. Hallelujah. Now, I said earlier about, you know, the way we value people differently by the sort of presence we give them. And that's fine at one level. That's naturally, of course, it's right to honor your husband, your wife, your family, and so on in that way. But I've said the danger is that we don't value others if we're not careful. So I want you just to pray before we finish now. Lord, help me to value everyone as you value them. Help me to value those who are around me, those whose lives touch my life every day. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just praise the Lord now. Show that He is higher than all. He is to be valued above all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless your holy name. We glorify you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. O papari alero bakalazi tiri sandari alero bakalazu tiri sandari. O papari alero. Lord, we thank you that you have honored us by making us your children, by drawing us into your kingdom, by enabling us to live in Christ, by having your living presence within us. we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. One little thing that I might have mentioned but didn't is, you know, the reason why we call those who have this responsibility over you for your spiritual welfare, why we call them pastor. Like, you don't just call me Colin, you call me Pastor Colin. Colin is a privilege because you call me by my Christian name, because we're called to love one another at that kind of level. But pastor, because you're honoring the anointing, you're honoring the office that God has given me, or Pastor Jonathan, or Pastor Gary, Pastor Clive. It's one of the things that God taught us when he taught us about this whole business of honoring, that we don't just casually refer to our leaders, but it's just their honor. It's not a legalistic thing. It's just a desire to express that honor. And even when my wife speaks to others about me, she would say, well, I'll tell Pastor Colin. She won't say, well, I'll just tell Colin. If there's a message to be passed on to me, to say, I'll tell Pastor Colin. Because even there, you see, it's honoring. Can you understand what I'm saying? It's not that I like to be called pastor. It's just that I feel uneasy when someone just calls me Colin. I don't feel uneasy for myself. I feel uneasy for them. Can you see that? Because somehow they haven't yet grasped this business of honoring, and it's so important.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.